Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 140 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Langston Moore. Langston lives in Dallas, Texas now, but he was born and raised in Charleston, South Carolina, and he played football for University of South Carolina, which I actually have a master's degree from there, and my husband has a doctorate from there, so I am drinking coffee while we record from my University of South Carolina Gamecock mug, just on your behalf, Langston.
Thank you.
Then after playing football for USC, he was drafted and played for Cincinnati and Arizona and Detroit. But now he is a full-time creator. He's the author of two books with a third coming up, and he also does podcasts. So welcome, Langston. I'm really glad to meet you and have you here today.
It's awesome to be here. We appreciate it. And it's quite crazy how, colleges and schools, we all get, you meander, but there's still that connection there. So it's great to be here, and I'm glad you got the coffee mug out for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it was super hard for me to get it and drink out of it back when I first got it because my granddaddy played football for Clemson, which are, huge rivals, as you know.
So we got to use that word huge, loosely, because we think of them as rivals, but you got to beat your rival at some point, and they just crush us now.
Well, okay.
But we'll take it.
Well, I'm familiar with that because my undergraduate work, I went to Wake Forest University, and so we're used to beat by everybody.
Yeah.
So it builds character though, right, Langston?
It does. And again, you guys are smart. So like I always say, smart folks don't play football long. They don't, once they figure it out, they don't stay in pain long. So
absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Well, my college roommate, her daughters, she of course went to Wake Forest with me, but her daughters are now at University of Alabama. And so she is living vicariously through them with football success. So
it's crazy how much, you know, that just kind of drives everything, because my daughter, aka my roommate, she's a softball girl. And you know, she starts talking to me about, what about this school and this school? And it's all, she finds it through the thread of like football, you know, Clemson and Alabama, of course. So it's like, I guess, you know, Alabama might be an option now. I don't know. But, you know, as long as she gets a scholarship, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that she'll have lots of options available to her. That'll be great. So I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
What brought me to intermittent fasting? Big dude. You know, one of the reasons we connected was we created a podcast called Butt and Gut. And, you know, it's a football kind of adage, you know, it's kind of a term of endearment. When, you know, when a coach tells you you're all butt and gut, that doesn't really leave much room for anything else. So, you know, like, football ends and most of the time we're usually big guys. So intermittent fasting was a big thing to kind of help us, because again, for us football dudes, we always expend a lot of calories and we always consume a lot of calories. But and then when you stop and you're not expending, that consumption is still there. So intermittent fasting was a great way to, you know, trying to put some parameters around us, trying to put some different things to make sure that you're not just gorging all day, because we're not at short of having access for money or food. And, you know, we live in America, there's food everywhere.
Oh yeah.
But then also just, you know, kind of being who we are, you walk into a bar and somebody's like, I think I know you, let me buy you, not a beer, let me buy you a burger, or let me buy you, you know, put this fry. Or if you know the restaurant, somebody looks, you know, oh, that's my guy from, and give him a, I know he ordered a two piece, but give him a family pack, you know?
Right.
So, you know, intermittent fasting was a way for us to kind of put some rails on myself. And beyond all that is the therapeutic effect. Tons of injuries. All of us, a lot of guys have a lot of different problems with inflammation, a lot of different things with joints and different things like that. So for me personally, in my personal experience, just fasting and going through, you know, using that protocol regularly just did a great deal on just making sure my knuckles and my hands and my ankles didn't hurt. And again, I always say I'm not some dude who played. I mean, the average career in the NFL is 3 years. I played for seven. I joke and say I fooled them for seven until they figured out I couldn't play. But there's guys who played 15 years and then back that up with 10 years of just high school. And that's a lot of wear and tear. So intermittent fasting has become kind of the nouveau riche for a lot of folks. But for us, a lot of guys, it really has been more of a big therapeutic thing to kind of help us get the weight off our bodies, get the weight off our joints, get a lot of this inflammation. And then you compound that with a lot of these guys have some diabetes and different things like that. It's just overall just tons and tons of great benefits, and live by it, love it, you know, feel weird now when I eat out of my kind of intermittent fasting window now, but that's a good thing.
That is very true. Yeah. I can remember going back, you know, to college, and that's really the only time I ever had a lot of experience around, you know, real football players, but they had a separate dining room, but it was right off the main dining room, but you could see it.
I mean, you'll probably smell it, right?
Like, you could see it, and it was like unlimited food. I mean, like they had plates piled full of food. That's the only thing I remember is like, what are they eating in there? And how much, you know, it was really built on quantity, right?
100%. And now again, you know, there's always a need to want to make sure that we catch up the technology of nutrition and making sure, and guys are getting really, and that's why you see the bodies on these guys. I mean, it used to be guys were 6'5", you know, 300 pounds, and they might have, you know, 18% body fat. You see a guy now, they got six packs. There was a kid that went to the draft this year, Makaya Becton. He was 6'7", almost 400 something pounds, but ran almost like a 40 yard dash in like 5 seconds, which,
wow,
when you put that mass together, you get almost a 400 pound being moving relatively quickly over that short. That's a lot of speed, but that's just God-given talent and ability. I mean, because you can't make that stuff up, but just nutrition and different things throughout. So it gets better and better every year, but still, guys, consumption is a big thing for us. And that's the thing I always say with football guys, and this is where intermittent fasting always comes in to help us, is because we just consume. And there's a lot of times for us, I mean, everything we do is over the top. You know, the coach tells us to do 10 reps on the bench, we're going to do 12. You know, we ran 20 100 yard sprints, somebody's going to stay up and say, I'm gonna get 10 more in. And so it's the same thing when it comes to drinking or to food or relationships or spending money. And so specifically with intermittent fasting and guys with their health, again, it's just kind of seems like a rail thing. It kind of helps us keep it in check, because whether you're doing a 16 and an 8 or 18 and a 6 or whatever it is you want to do, you know, those things aren't foreign to us, because, you know, like for me, for instance, when I played football, I would never eat breakfast before our morning practice with two-a-days. And that wasn't because I was nervous or I just didn't want to feel full. But there were some guys, they would get up hours before and get the full pancakes and the sausage, and that was their deal. But for me, I was just, man, I just want water and some gum. That's all I want. And it's funny, today when I wake up, my life is a lot of green tea, water, and some gum. And it probably won't be till the evening until I probably get that first really big meal for the day.
That's interesting. I could never imagine doing a big workout like a football practice with a lot of food in your stomach. So your way sounds better to me. Now, did you know that Herschel Walker only eats one meal a day?
It makes sense. And if you look at Herschel, and I always tell this joke because Herschel Walker and George Rogers, who was a Carolina Heisman guy, I think Herschel won the Heisman in 80, George won in 81, kind of similar ages, but you can just tell they're two totally different looking guys, even though they're the same age. And it makes sense because when you talk about intermittent fasting, I mean, the age, you don't age as much.
It's true.
And you look at Herschel, he looks 20 years younger than George. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said he started eating that way. There's a video for anyone who's interested in it. If you go to YouTube, and I think you could probably just search using the words Herschel Walker and one meal a day or something. And of course, you know, he's big here in Georgia. I live in Georgia and everybody loves Herschel Walker here. You know, so many Georgia fans, but he explains what he eats. And he said he started this in high school. This is just how he ate and he kept it. And that's just how he eats, you know, and he was able to be a top athlete and did not ever eat until late in the day.
It's wild how you kind of like pick these things up. And like I always say with football guys, you know, we know our bodies. I can sit here and not have a scale, but I can tell you, oh, I know maybe to the pound what I weigh. Oh, I'm 297 today because I know, because you've had this machine your whole life. You've run on this, especially a guy like Herschel. Like he's running away from people, running through people. So he would know. But also it just makes sense, you know, with anything. If I use my phone too much, it's just, I'm naturally going to get hot. It's going to, you know, wear down, even though I can continue to charge it up, but it needs to rest. I've heard read books about people when they first started doing transatlantic flights, where they're saying you got to rest the plane a little bit, and you're thinking, man, that's metal, that doesn't need to rest. But it's the same thing that goes for your body and your nervous system and your digestive system. And as I got older and, you know, less younger, and I always say, you know, football ages you really, really, really quickly. Like every year you play is like a dog year. It's like 7 years. So, yeah. You know, the more I started eating at night, I started to see like the next morning it was really sluggish, or it's really hard, or, you know, especially the things you eat at night during that certain type of window. You know, you can abstain from alcohol, but eat certain things and feel like you have a hangover the next morning.
That's true.
And so, again, it all goes back to inflammation. It all goes back to trying to figure out some times to just get your body on that natural rhythm. So your body can rest, the growth hormone can kick in, all the mitochondria can fix itself and do all those different things. So it doesn't surprise me that Herschel figured that out, and that's why he's an elite guy.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10, to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Absolutely. So when did you actually first start experimenting with intermittent fasting? I know you mentioned that you would skip breakfast before your training, even, you know, back years ago. But like, I don't know that Herschel Walker, I know he did not think, I am doing intermittent fasting. He didn't know. No one, it didn't have a name then. And he even in that video says, you know, now this, don't do this. This is weird, but I just eat once a day. Of course, now we know it's not weird. It's, it's got health benefits. But when did you first hear the words intermittent fasting and say, that is what I'm going to do?
Maybe around when I started hearing intermittent IF a lot, it was probably around maybe 5, maybe 6 years ago. Again, you got to forgive me. I've been hitting the head a lot, but just same kind of folks in nutritionists, different, like listening to Dave Asprey. And, yeah. And obviously he's a big guy for about, you know, human engineering, and he wants to live to be 130. And I don't want to live to be 130. I just don't want my foot to swell up, or
right.
With some other guys, Mark Sesson, different things like that. So that's really kind of similar, maybe similar to Herschel Walker's deal, where I say, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. And then again, I also think about this component of intermittent fasting, like, you know, that's always kind of a perfect challenge for me kind of every day. Okay, I'm not playing football no more. I love to be challenged, love to compete. Okay, but I'm not out here, nor do I want to be out here competing and throwing my body into different people this old age of 38, 39 years old where I'm at right now. So intermittent fasting kind of gave me that kind of little nugget of like competition. Like, man, I can go without eating for another hour. I can, man, come on, you can wait till 3:30 to put something into your mouth. Come on, you can't. And sometimes it is easy, sometimes it's not. But then always, especially after doing like more extended fast and different things like that, you just feel so good. You feel so accomplished beyond the body weight, beyond sleeping better. And we all know those are the effects of intermittent fasting. You just feel like mentally you're toughened up a little bit. As my brother put it, it feels like you kind of took a coat off or something like that. You took a layer off in maybe a 24 or 48 hour fast. And you don't have to do those extreme things, but it's also kind of the benefit you get by waiting all day and saying, man, I did real good today because I walked into the break room and I didn't eat the dip they had or whatever. And so it builds up that muscle. So I think, you know, to answer your question, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe, but it all makes sense now that somebody actually put those terms around it because there is the medical stuff behind it.
So when you first heard about it, did you start right away? You just were like, yes, I'm doing it. And you started with like a 16:8 kind of a thing?
Oh, no. Try to do everything over the top.
I was thinking about that because you talked about how, you know, in your football career, you're like, well, if you're told to do 10, you're going to do 12, right? Yeah.
So yeah. Like it was kind of laid out in that kind of, I think, 16:8 in like a 24 hour. And then people started getting to the science of like a 60 hour versus a 48, a 36, and then a 72 hour. Hour deal. And so I think, I don't think it was that extreme when I first heard it, but I think it was like 24 hours. I was like, man, let me see if I can just kind of like go through a lighter workout day with this. There were some guys where I was training. I used to be Fisher Sports out there in Phoenix. It was a phenomenal place. And again, Phoenix is all of these pro cities have a lot of nutritionists and places to work out, but Phoenix seems to be like the hotbed for like athletes and professional athletes. So, you know, out there, I was like, okay, well, let's do this. But there were a lot of guys doing things like carb cycling at the time where they would, you know, on this day, they would only have 20 grams of carbs. And then on our heavy day, they would go as high as maybe 75 grams and then oscillate back and forth between those two, depending upon the day and the workout. So at first I was like, well, those dudes I can go zero carbs one day, or I can go zero calories. So not smart, but also allowed me, and I was in a safe place where I was healthy enough. I could do some of those things so I could test it out. But like you said, the recovery, sleeping at night, combining some of those things with cold therapy on top of that has just been phenomenal. And now you hear a lot about this. I mean, there's people you talk about intermittent fasting on a podcast at all, or there's the Iceman who only talks about cold therapy. And so it's great to live during this time because you're starting to see, man, I wasn't just out there doing some crazy stuff, man. There was a little bit of method behind the madness. Maybe I just didn't know it was called this.
It's funny that you're talking about cold therapy. I have another podcast, the Intermittent Fasting Podcast, with co-host Melanie Avalon. She actually interviewed Wim Hof for her Melanie Avalon biohacking podcast. And she loves cold therapy, but I am resistant. She keeps trying to get me to try it. And I hate to be cold. Like, for example, I have a sauna. And just this morning, I spent 45 minutes in my sauna. I like to be hot.
Me too. Again, that's the beauty of being really good at football, because it's like every facility is like a great resort, and they got every wet sauna, dry sauna. They got this. You got the cold plunge, and you can do all of those things in one day. But now, when you're out there on your own, it's tough, and it's tough to find enough ice or a cryo place, or they're not open at this time, or they're out of nitrogen. So it's really tough, and you got to take advantage of those things. But I'm with you. I love a sauna as well. I miss being in the community with everything with COVID and sitting in saunas and talking to folks.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. You know, I'd have one in my home. Thank goodness. I feel very fortunate to have that. But I didn't think about you wouldn't be able to get into one of those, because it's like a closed up box with other people.
Yeah, it is.
That would be the wrong thing to do.
It's wild. They have some new places that I think it's a franchise open out here, but it's, you can go into an infrared kind of a box sauna, and they have a video playing, and you can do a HIIT workout for 45 minutes, or you can do some isometrics. And it's a business. And I've been thinking about it, because I've been itching to get back into a sauna. I haven't been in one in probably well over a year, just because of everything that's going on. And I was like, man, I'm from Charleston. Like I said, man, we sweat all the time.
We're used to it. We like the heat.
So I miss the heat. So especially that thick humidity heat. So I'm definitely going to try that out here.
Well, the one that I have is one that you can set up in a room of a home. Even it's a Sunlight and Sauna. That's the brand. And it's infrared. I had to have a special plug put in, because it doesn't plug in. But they have ones you can get in that you're like a sleeping bag kind of effect. But the one I have is one you actually go in and sit. I didn't think about doing like a high intensity workout in there. I don't know if I could do that.
I found Bikram yoga probably 2006 when I was playing with the Cardinals, looking for something different, trying not to. And, you know, again, you first doing it, you're like, what are you doing? But I loved it afterwards, after you got refreshed and after you caught your breath and rehydrated.
Is that the hot yoga, the Bikram yoga?
Absolutely. That's the crazy ones. That's the ones where, like, I always tell the guys, this is how I always got my buddies in there. I was like, man, the women in there are phenomenal. They're going to be in bathing suits. And, you know, after about 2 minutes of that, you can't even see straight because it's so hot in there and you're so tired. And it's even worse for football dudes, because we're so used to moving. And, you know, the whole thought process behind like meditation or anything is just kind of let that energy bounce around.
You have to be still.
Right. And that's tough for a lot of guys, because a lot of times you see guys shaking it off. It's kind of like a puppy. When I look at my own dog here in the house, it's like when he gets a little, he'll shake his, you know, he can. And that's how football guys are. And so to tell a football guy in a hot room with somebody right next to you, in front of you, and you can smell their feet, it's like, that is the yoga in itself, just trying to keep your mind calm. But that's football. That's the trenches. After every play, somebody's on top of you, somebody's spitting, somebody's talking about somebody else. And it's like, it's crazy. But whole point is, love Bikram yoga, love that whole deal. And same thing with that. Intermittent fasting was a big deal for that, because there's no way you can eat going into that 2 hours before and it's hungry.
No, I wouldn't think so.
And as hungry as you are afterwards, there's pretty much nothing you can eat probably the next hour afterwards. So there's a nice three or four hour window right there. You can start building in some stuff there.
You got to let your body recover from that.
Yes, absolutely. Nervous system is jumping always after that, but it's good.
Yeah, I bet. So do you do cold therapy as well? You like cold therapy?
I try to not give there's a place around the corner from where I live. They have a cryo set up. And so, again, I do some physical therapy there, and I'll go in there and try to get cryotherapy every other day if I can, just because of, I love the growth hormone with it. I love, again, combining like intermittent fasting or more of extended fasting. I always say when I fast and go in there and get a good cryotherapy, like that night's sleep's going to be awesome. It just feels like I had a really good workout without the strenuous part of it. And there's some science behind there. I'm sure you guys all know about that. But yeah, love cold therapy and try to figure out some ways to get enough ice in my bathtub to do it. But you know, I'm a big dude. I hang out. I feel like I'm missing a toe or something like that.
For me, it would be hard just to turn the water to cold on the shower. And that would be cold therapy to me. Start somewhere.
There's folks who are like, start your day off with that cold shower. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I get it. It'll wake me up. And then sometimes like, that's the last thing that's fitting to happen this morning, is I'm fitting to sit underneath a cold shower for 10 seconds or 10 minutes. It doesn't matter.
Well, you know, I'm, I'm not going to say that I'll never do it. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Maybe one day I will. So what does a day look like for you as far as your intermittent fasting?
Absolutely. So dependent upon if I'm speaking or anything, regardless of what's going on, I'm pretty much an early riser. So, you know, if we have to travel or do some things like that, I'm pretty much early up in every day, 5:30-ish to 6-ish, you know, still crazy guy myself. When I lived on the West Coast, I was still kind of always have that East Coast time clock. So I'd wake up at that time, wake up. Usually for me, it's water, try to get some water in me right away, you know, 30 to 40 ounces, you know, try to just flush that body, try to get everything woken up. From there, probably a little bit of light journaling, some different things, some reading to try to wake my mind up. I've been a big proponent of trying to get that hour of power in and, you know, 15 minutes of meditation, so 15 minutes of some type of movement, 15 minutes of some reflection, and of course, just some reading. And again, that just kind of just wakes that stubborn muscle up here up in that brain and try to get, you know, whatever is else going. And again, that body-mind connection is really, really important because it all works together in a crazy way, whether you're paying attention to it or not. From there, it's more water and green tea for me the rest of the day. Specifically, what's my green? The harsher, the more pungent the green tea, the better, you know? So I'm a real stickler for that. I really just drink cups and cups of that all day. Depending upon what's going on, I might drink some ketones or something like that to get myself going. If we have to do like a bunch of traveling and then maybe stand on my feet for about 6 hours. But between that, that's pretty much it. Every now and again, I'll dip a little coconut MCT oil into this green tea to try to get, you know, some version of a bulletproof tea or whatever. I'm not a coffee guy, but just really love a tea. And really from there, I mean, try to make it to at least about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And for me, I can always kind of set that benchmark to be 5 o'clock, but, you know, typical meathead football guy, I know in my brain that I probably won't eat at 5 o'clock because that's when I start preparing the meal or figuring out what it's going to be for the evening. So that buys me another hour, 2 hours if my wife's not around or I need to prepare the food. So I can I can get about an 18-hour fast in every day. I can get a 20-hour one meal a day type of deal in for myself pretty consistently. I really like that. I really like, now my biggest thing is just to make sure that window doesn't go too far into the evening, like I said, because I am an older individual and it doesn't matter, you know, what I eat, even if it is really just good, you know, non-processed food, meat and a vegetable, you know, if I eat it too late, it's just going to sit on top of me. And, you know, it's all the warnings my old man and my brother used to tell me all the time are coming true for myself. When,
yeah, eating a giant amount of food and then going right to bed just doesn't feel good, does it?
And even if you trick yourself and say, man, it's Brussels sprouts, I'll be all right, but it'll taste
it's like still going to be sprouts. Sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are the things.
Gravity.
Knowing your body, knowing this machine that we all have a machine that we have to kind of be responsible for and manage. And that's pretty much it.
Absolutely. Now, I want you to send me your mailing address because I am going to send you a copy of my book, Fast, Feast, Repeat.
Yeah.
That came out this year. And I want to encourage you to make one little tiny change in there. And the ketones and the coconut oil and the MCT, mm-hmm. I know that you're using those for energy, but I would encourage you to leave those out.
Okay.
I'm a big believer in something I call the clean fast, which is let your body make ketones from your stored body fat.
Yes.
It's like that process is one that we really want to encourage, the making of ketones.
And to let it happen more naturally, correct? Because, and that's the thing, you know, football guys are supplements, and not to say that I was a big supplement guy, but that is something that I will lean on, I guess, but it's a crutch and, you know, it can be, you know, you got to be careful with those things. So definitely, I'll definitely try around with that.
Well, I'm going to send it to you. Send me your mailing address and I'm going to send it to you and read that section on the clean fast. And I have something in there called the clean fast challenge. And the obesity code. Have you read the obesity code? Have you seen that one?
I've read like the Cliff Notes and all those different things and the YouTube deal.
Right. That really is what, you know, prior to reading the obesity code, all of us in the intermittent fasting space, really, I mean, I'm not going to say all, but the people who were like doing it and in the groups and talking about it, and even a lot of the books that we would read, all seemed to indicate that intermittent fasting was just a way to, you know, eat fewer calories. That was all. We didn't understand hormonal benefits. We didn't understand, you know, ketosis was something they only talked about in the low carb world. You know, it wasn't any, we didn't understand ketosis went with fasting. There was so little that we understood. Then the obesity code came out. And when I read that, I finally understood all the things that were going on behind the scenes, hormonally, metabolically, and, you know, the processes that we really wanted to encourage. And that was really where the idea of the clean fast came about for me. I had to get stevia out of my coffee. I had to stop, you know, adding stuff in. And it was like flipping a light switch, and it changed everything. Fasting became easier for me. I used to white knuckle it. But the more I took out of the fast, the easier it got and the less, you know, white knuckling there was. So I'm sure if I would have been the person popping those ketones, they didn't have them back then that I'm aware of. You know, this was 2016. Maybe they did, but I wasn't exposed to them at that point. But I was trying the MCT oil. I also learned not to do that on an empty stomach. I have a really bad MCT oils. They will upset your system.
Oh,
you ever experienced that?
Yes, absolutely. And again, reading directions, you're like, that doesn't apply to me. But they tell you on the bottle, you know, slowly add half a teaspoon. And you're like, man, give me 2 teaspoons off top. And you're like, ugh.
I'm going to take a shot of it. That's actually what I did. Anyway, I want you to think about that and then try it and let me know. Follow up just to see. Because I really think the clean fast is our magical difference. That
for sure. For sure.
You'll feel even so much better.
And I think that's another big thing with intermittent fasting is like, if we just get out the way, like we, you know, again, thinking about humans and the timeline of, you know, humans to whatever you believe. But, you know, we've done a whole lot and we've come really far. We got computers, we got headphones, we got our Wi-Fi. I don't know how this thing works, but a lot of times we get too smart. We get too smart for our own good. And I think intermittent fasting is a good kind of like constant reminder, like to just get out the way. We don't, even when you're fasting, you make sense. You don't have to add something to accelerate because ketones will be released through your liver perfectly for you and your situation. You know, my liver might be skinnier, but it might be a little bit more fat laden than somebody who's bigger. And so again, I mean, your body will regulate, but just, you got to kind of not be so smart and trust your body and all these different things. And that is, again, another beautiful thing. I hate to get off into this tangent, but like, that is the thing that reminds me about.
I love the tangent.
With intermittent fasting is that your body will correct itself. Think about a cold or thinking about any times you get any of those things. Like, last thing you want to do is eat. And that's, again, a natural set point for your body to try to recover and fix itself.
Yeah, I think that I've been way less, you know, sick frequently, less frequently sick since doing intermittent fasting. Back 100%. Before I was an intermittent faster, you know, I was a school teacher and I continued to teach for a few years after adopting an intermittent fasting lifestyle before I retired. But when I was frequently eating and teaching elementary school, I was always, you know, catching something and it would always turn into an ear infection or a sinus infection. And I would end up with an antibiotic. And ever since I adopted the intermittent fasting lifestyle as a lifestyle, I have not needed to take an antibiotic or go to the doctor for an illness since. I mean, that right there is profound. I let my body have time. I'm not going to say I've never been sick, but it's, and I'm not going to say that intermittent fasting will protect, you know, 100% of things. You can still get sick. But for me, it's night and day. No 100%. More infections yearly, several times a year, no more antibiotics. And when I have been sick, my body recovers on its own.
That's amazing because as somebody who goes in and out of schools, various schools all the time before COVID, I mean, now when you think about it, you're like, oh man, what were they doing? But before then, And if you're a parent or like you said yourself, a teacher, you knew that, man, I'm good for 3 sinus infections this school year. If I make it through 2, that's a success. And that's really interesting. And same thing here. I haven't had that sinus infection probably in 2 or 3 years. I haven't had that, you know, that chest cold that turns into something you got to go get, you know, an antibiotic. And again, we all know the deal with antibiotics, especially when you have too much, because there is so many. And everything we do from meats to, I mean, just all type of stuff. So again, our bodies are smart enough, you know, the world is smart enough, the environment is smart enough. And so if we don't try to, you know, be too smart and say, oh, I need to drink Crystal Light packets and all this stuff to get going.
No.
You know, your body can do that. It's interesting because that is also a tough deal. And just being around teachers a good bit, you had to feel really, really brave to try to adopt an intermittent lifestyle while still being in the school, in the schoolhouse with little kids running around. Because again, food is kind of the respite. The break room is the respite. If you're a teacher, you know who's on your hall, who has the chocolate. You know who on your hall has the salty. It's not that.
And it was always me. I always had drawers of all that. I had it all in my desk. I had the chocolate. I had the snacks. I had the food.
Yeah. And so but that's not that crutch to lean on. And so, you know, a little less irritable. And so you can see how somebody would adopt that. Man, I need that Snicker, the little handful of Snickers too, so I don't yell at little Johnny and just give him a complex for the rest of his life. No. Now you can figure it out if you're a teacher, because if you got degrees and all this stuff, but it's just habits and we get so accustomed to those different things. But breaking patterns, it's tough. It's tough. It's really hard.
I was 210 pounds. So I was obese and that was my motivation. You know, I ended up losing about 80 pounds that I've kept off since 2015. So I've been, you know, the same size since then, which is amazing because I had always yo-yoed up and down and would lose the weight, gain the weight, gain more. And this is the first time I've ever in my life been able to lose weight and keep it off and maintain the loss. But that was my motivation. So, and when it was, you know, hard and I was trying to break those patterns, like you're saying, I mean, there's always food in the break rooms at school. They're feeding you, you know, sweet treat day.
It's PTA weekend. It's Chick-fil-A is on Monday. Then Zaxby's is on Tuesday. And then we have a potluck soup. But the potluck soup is all hearty, gravy-based, clam chowder. You're like, oh, man. And you wonder. And I'm telling you, it's no different than a break room in a Fortune 500 company. It's no different than an NFL locker room. I'm telling you. That's why it's so hard for these guys, because the money and the access, there'll be a new bakery that opened and they want to make sure all the NFL guys and their wives will drop off three dozens of this. And again, growing up, you're like, you don't throw away food, right? And that's the thing we get you get kind of, because that's where food is sneaky, unlike alcohol or drugs where you can, you know, you don't have to go sit in a bar every day, but you got a refrigerator in your house.
You have to eat.
Yeah, you got to eat.
You have to eat.
As your mama says, you got to eat something. And so, you know, that turns into, and then it figures out and it goes back to choices. So, man, I definitely applaud you for that, because, you know, even for myself, I always tell people, man, I've lost well over 100 pounds, but it's just been the same 10 pounds, 15 pounds, like 20 times over my entire life. And that's pretty indicative of everybody's experience. You kind of figure it out, but to lose weight or to get out of debt or any of those things, especially to lose the weight, especially with food, that's, you got to become a whole different person, your mindset, your thoughts. And I think intermittent fasting, and you can probably attest to that, it helps so much to change that, your mind.
Yes. And, you know, the important mental shift for me was to stop thinking about it as hard and that I was giving up, you know, during the day, like when they were having those treats. And I actually, my first book was called Delay, Don't Deny. And so, you know, I could take those treats home. You know, if it was sweet treats day, I would go and look at all the things that were there and be like, well, I don't want all this store-bought stuff, like the parent who went to the grocery store and bought, you know, a coffee cake that they made in the bakery, but that muffin that looks homemade, I'm going to put one of those in a baggie and I'm going to take that home and I'm going to eat it in my eating window. And so the whole idea of that, I wasn't saying no to having that. I was just delaying it to later. And so it suddenly didn't feel like such a sacrifice. And then I also was so much more productive.
Yes.
Because on those days that I fell victim to the me too, I'm going to do it too. You're having it, I'm having it philosophy, you know, seeing people eat, I'm going to join you. I felt so blah the whole rest of the afternoon that I'm like, it's really not worth it. I'm not depriving myself of anything by saying I'm going to have that later. And that right there became so powerful because it was just a choice. It became my choice. How do I want to feel the rest of the day?
Choice. That's our superpower.
And then it wasn't hard. Right.
Yeah, right. Our choice is a superpower. But a lot of times we feel like, man, this is my only option, or Snickers or Butterfingers. These are there's another option, you know. And I love how you said, you know, you delay, don't deny, because you're going to run out of no's. You're going to run out of, you know, I'm on this diet. Eventually, it doesn't matter who you are, Michael Jordan, whoever, you're going to run out of no's. So again, having that set up, and that's again why I like intermittent fasting, it's black and white for me. Are you putting something in your mouth that's going to kick it up, whether it even be food or drink, or can I save that till later? So I'm not telling you can't have this. You just got to wait a little bit. And productivity, to your point, being a creative, it made sense to me when I played football to not be heavy and be out there, and I could create all type of, I could hurdle a guy and spin on one foot. And, you know, when you look at it, that's being creative. That's like being a dancer, you know, and it's no different now. Even though I don't use my body, I'm trying to be creative with my brain or give the best speech I can or come up with these books and these ideas. And I can't do that when, even if I just try to eat a healthy meal, you know, a bunch of nuts, you know, I'm just not going to be productive. I need a little respite before it kicks back up again. And that makes sense because of your body. So all the benefits of intermittent fasting. And I love that because it's all tied into a reward. I've done a good job. I've been productive today. I stayed away from the food. I got all my interviews done. I did everything. Now I can reward myself and have the discipline to have the good meal, but also to enjoy something. It's the cookie test. It's that cookie test that we see kids have in elementary
school. For the kids, school. The kids. Explain the cookie test for anybody who's.
Yeah. So I, you know, don't claim that I know everything. I just watched a TED talk once or twice, but basically they had elementary kids or really preschool kids come in and they tell them, you know, if you can, I'm gonna leave this cookie in here and I'll be back in 20, 30 minutes. And if you don't eat this cookie, I'll give you three more. I'll give you two more. And so obviously there's some kids who fight the battle. They show the kid hiding underneath the table. There's a kid who's kind of like biting his sleeve. And there's some kids that's like turned around and not looking at it.
Licking the cookie or sniffing the cookie. Yeah.
But there's some kids like me that was just like, as soon as that you see that door close, you're like, and you eat the cookie right away.
The cookie, right?
Right. And it just goes back to talking about the whole point of the exercise is basically talking about delaying gratification and the kids who are probably, you see them probably going to be more prone to be successful in this realm because they can delay gratification. Doesn't mean that all hope is lost. If you were lunch in the morning, you ate the cookie as soon as the kid walked out of the, you know, I just call that parent wasn't smart. You got to know who I am. You give me a cookie, I'm going to eat it. But it's with anything in life, you know, whether you're trying to save for your 401k, are you trying to delay gratification today so you can live the way you want to when you retire from school? Or are you trying to be a writer? You got to show up every day. You're delaying watching The View every morning for that hour of just writing, even though that writing feels terrible or whatever it is. Same thing with working out. So the cookie test is in everything. And that's one thing we always talk about. And that just came to mind when you were talking about saving that good muffin. That's another great tip that I love for myself is if you're going to eat something, you know, quote unquote, bad, sugary or whatever in your window, whenever you choose to eat it, go for the best, you know,
right.
I can go get star, you know, this store-bought stuff, whatever, but I know Mrs. Jones only sells this pineapple upside down cake on Tuesdays in April, and I will wait to get that cake because it's, you know, obviously she puts more love into it. She puts a lot of all that cool stuff, and you just enjoy it more. I think it goes back to, you know, you can spend money on everything or you can spend money on the things you really, really value and really enjoy and enjoy spending that money as opposed to just feeling like, man, I wasted it. We shouldn't have gone to McDonald's. No, you should have went to the best burger place that you like and really enjoyed it. And so that's something that kind of helped me keep that fence around myself. Like, man, Sprinkles Cupcake is closed, man. I really want a cupcake. So I'm not going to go to the store and get the store-bought one. I'll wait. And that gives me another 24 hours. And then, you know, that urge is not there anymore. You help yourself.
That's true. That often does happen. You're like, you know, I'm just going to have that later. And then later comes and you're like, now I really want to have some roasted Brussels sprouts.
Which are phenomenal.
They really are. I love them. And what's funny is I didn't used to eat Brussels sprouts or like them. And so now I do. And I told my husband, I'm like, yeah, pick up some Brussels sprouts. I want to eat them. And he's like, I thought you didn't like them. I'm like, where have you been? I've been eating them for like 2 years now. But he forgot. I guess I don't know. He hadn't noticed. But I wouldn't touch them for so long. But
yeah, you and everybody in the world. And now it just seems like if I was a gambling man, I'd put all my money on Brussels sprouts. Because I mean, everybody, I mean, they're everywhere. You're seeing them at restaurants now. I mean, a lot of the chain restaurants that never, and that just shows you, you know, the appetite for Brussels sprouts is up there, just like chili cheese fries. So that's great that option is there.
And they have to be cooked properly though, because I can remember when I thought of Brussels sprouts, it was like the way my mother would get them. She would get like gross ones and like frozen and then boil them or some nonsense like that. Yeah. And that doesn't even sound good. But when you roast them with the olive oil and they get that little crust on the bottom, with salt and pepper, that's all you need. Perfect.
And that's the thing about food. I forget where I heard this from, and it makes sense. You know, growing up in the South, hibachi is a really big thing, not just, you know, Chinese food or hibachi having them. And it's something about just getting it fresh off the grill, fresh, that texture that makes all the difference. And then it's the same way with vegetables. You know, maybe, you know, if you just char them just a little bit, or just, you know, I've realized, you know, I like broccoli, but if I char them on the grill for like 5 minutes, season them as if they are a steak, or no different than cauliflower steaks doing the same. It's phenomenal. And I mean, I hate to say
right.
this.
That's where that flavor is, right? Yeah. The flavor is in that char.
And that's all it is. It's seasoning. And you could eat as much as you want, but you know, I can't eat a 16-ounce ribeye like that. I can eat part of it, but not all of it. And so again, that's the thing I think as an adult growing up, realizing, man, it's not the steak I want. I want the char. I want the hot sizzle. I want that's all of those things. And I can still find that happy medium in there. But never would have thought Langston Moore growing up being 39 years old saying, y'all have any, you know, Brussels sprouts on the menu? I'm looking. I don't see those here, you know, but that's the beauty of change.
Where are the vegetables?
That's right.
I love it. So what does your eating window look like on a typical day as far as like what's on your plate? I know you just said Brussels sprouts and broccoli. You eat everything though. You're not restricting anything specifically.
So I try to stay away from the sugars and the flours for sure. And then, but with that leaves me, I'm a Charleston guy, so that still leaves me my rice. So I still have that opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Being able, you know, my mom was a Midwest gal. So, you know, we always had potatoes and stuff. And then you combine that with growing up in Charleston for me, which I was born and bred. So, you know, you might have potatoes and rice in a meal or something like that. But I don't really get, you know, potatoes aren't something for me. I got to have a potato with every meal. So I get off on getting cauliflower and just, you know, pureeing it, basically making cauliflower mash. And I'll do that. I mean, that goes with everything. I can have cauliflower mash and some pot roast. And so that gives me that gravy and meat and potato sensation I'm looking for, but it's still kind of zero low carb because they're, you know, it's a whole two heads of cauliflower and a meat. So for me, in a perfect ideal world for me, every day is just going to be meat and vegetable with another vegetable. And so I always, you know, get over on my kid because she's like, it's mashed potatoes, right? I'm like, yeah, have as much as you want. More. Would you like some more? But you know, I gotta hide the blender and the food processors because she's like, oh, that's that cauliflower. Now she gets it now and she likes it. But so if I can, for myself, even though I'm making the meal, if I can somehow sneak in two or three extra vegetables into my deal. So like if I'm doing like a pot roast, tons of vegetables in there, celeries, onions, leeks, all those different things in there.
Yum.
And then you put on top of that, or you put the cauliflower mash, and then you backdoor with some balsamic Brussels sprouts. I mean, that's it. That's a pretty, for a big ex-NFL dude that's still trying to cut the weight and get under 290, that's a big satisfying meal. And that's always the biggest thing. You want to be satisfied, you know, trying to incorporate.
And real food does that.
100%. And when you first make the shift from eating a bunch of processed stuff, you know, there's a reason why guys have a hankering for salt or whatever. It's because you want those phytonutrients. You want all that stuff from the kale or the collards. And that's the other good thing about, for me, I mean, I'm glad that those things weren't always seen as nasty, you know, like, so it's not crazy for me to put on a pot of collard greens and make those and eat those for 3 or 4 days throughout the week, or cabbage, or mix in between cabbage and then Brussels sprouts the next day. And you're like, man, all I'm really eating is damn, it's the cabbage diet. This is all I'm really eating, but I'm getting the vitamins. I'm getting all the good stuff, right? I want, but I don't feel deprived. I don't feel like, man, I need something to finish me off on top of this. And that's where guys, I think, get in a lot of trouble and binging and different things. But you get your salts, you get your vitamins, you get all those different things, and it just helps. And there's plenty of fiber, which is that magic word you don't want to hear when you get close to 40, but fiber and 40 really go together really well.
That's true. So. That's true. You know, I do great with beans. I eat a lot of beans. They make me so satisfied, and lots of fiber. The other day I was doing this nutritional thing for Zoe, which is part of the PREDICT study. They're doing personalized nutrition about how we're all different with what foods work well for us. But one of the foods that works great for me is beans. So I was eating a ton of them. I had like 73 grams of fiber one day. That's a lot of fiber. Yeah,
it is.
I felt pretty proud of that.
But again, it's a transport. You know, it helps that microbiome in your stomach. It helps get all those good stuff to there. Of course, we know it flushes you out, but, you know, it helps deliver those nutrients to that tennis elbow you might have, because again, and that's the thing, we just can't be so smart. You know, it's one thing to try to go get the icy hot and the bomb and put it on your elbow, but if you just eat right and go to sleep a little bit early, maybe drink a little bit more water, I mean, You don't have to smell like
linen. Do a little fasting.
Yeah, you don't have to smell like menthol. There you go. You know, so, and that's the thing. Sometimes we can really, a lot of times we can be too smart for our own good. So, and that's the thing about just keeping it simple, like you said.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Tell us about your podcast a little bit, the Butt and Gut Podcast.
Yeah, it's a lot of what we're talking about here is just football guys kind of having the same conversation. Might be a little bit more colorful language, a little peek into the locker room. But we interviewed, well over 13, 14 NFL guys that I've played with are in the NFL now. And we'll be rolling out season two. But, for a lot of these guys, they've been big their whole lives. Like for me, I wasn't the biggest guy when you get into the NFL, but I was always big. I was 150 pounds in the third grade. I remember when I went to the doctor's office with my mom, got on the scale. The doctor's like, yo, this is not normal. And then, of course, I wasn't playing football. And then God bless my mom. She took me to go get ice cream right after that because, as all typical moms do, you're fine. You play sports. You run all day, da 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 da. So as long as I had sports and those things to offset that chart, because I was way off the chart, the obesity chart, whatever. But I was also off the chart on the size and everything like that. So as long as I had football, I was safe. But now, when football's over and you're 28 or you're 32 or whatever, you're an immediate risk for a whole bunch of things. And if any one of us passed out and died, they'd be like, well, of course, he was obese. I don't care if he played football. So for the butt and gut stuff, we just talk about the psychology of food. For a lot of us, we talk about how football fed us. The better we played, the better food we ate. All-star games to being drafted. We already know what money and those different things, but also the better you play, the better healthcare you got. And so for a lot of guys, one of the guys we interviewed this season, Kendall Simmons, he's a coach for the Auburn Tigers and used to play Super Bowl champion, play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't find out he had diabetes till his second year in the NFL. So he went through the combine. They tested him for steroids and drugs and everything and all the checkup from the neck up. They did everything, but they didn't find out that he actually had this disease until his second year. And then so how does he treat it? Now, again, this is not 1980. This is the early 2000s. And, his career was looked at as it was going to be over for him. So talking about the misnomer of information and different things out there, and he's a big guy. He's trying to figure out, man, I got to block this 400-pound offensive lineman, Holodinata, this week. This dude is not going to take it a break because I got diabetes. So how do you figure that? So now seeing his transition, working with kids with diabetes, and obviously he's still a large male, but getting those things under control. His weight loss journey is totally different from my weight loss journey. I got another buddy who has kidney problems and different guys, so they can't have too much protein. And so, in an effort to try to still stay big but lose the weight, how do you balance the kidney function with the protein? So that's the thing we always tell guys. Yeah, it's cool that we have these NFL monikers and all these different things, but everybody pretty much has the same set of problems. Ours are just like everything else we did are pretty much big and exacerbated. So we kind of lean on each other, share stories, share workouts, share meal plans, share a lot of intermittent fasting things. There's huge proponent of us who have bought into that lifestyle just because of injuries, just because of mood. A lot of guys who have been on different things are trying to get themselves off of different things. Intermittent fasting has been something that they really lean on a good bit besides typical movement, meditation, making sure they get the right foods into their bodies and different things. So the Button Gut Podcast has been phenomenal for us. I'll make sure we send you all the information, and we'd love to send you some books and merchandise too. I'd love to see you walking around Augusta with the Button Gut sweatshirt on and
button
all that
gut.
Stuff. But we'll send it to you. But it's a funny deal because, again, if you've ever been around sports or football, especially in the South, the coach is, oh, man, you all Button Gut, man. You all I can do is put you on the offensive line. And so, and that's another thing for a lot of guys to play. You know, they're maybe a tight end in high school and they were pretty good at tight end. But for them to continue to play, they couldn't play at tight end. So the only thing they could do was eat. And so you go from eating to be a tight end to eating to be an offensive tackle. And then you realize, man, I'm not tall enough to be an offensive tackle. I'm more of a center. So I got to eat another 20, 50 pounds worth of stuff. And that becomes your career. And so for a lot of guys, you know, you supplement food for talent sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you just can't live like that for the rest of your life. So much within in football. It's so interesting, man. It's been a great experience putting this together.
Well, I love it. It sounds like a very valuable podcast and one that I think that my listeners would enjoy hearing too, because they're interested in food and, of course, intermittent fasting. And, you know, you mentioned the health benefits and you've talked about decreased inflammation. Have there been any specific health benefits that you can pin on intermittent fasting other than just general, you know, decreased inflammation?
Just as I look at myself, you know, there used to be a time when I would eat whatever, especially later at night without the intermittent fasting consistently. I mean, just getting dark, the bags underneath my eyes. I think about my dad who used to be on he used to do drive time radio early in the morning. And so his schedule would be 3 o'clock and he's on the air at 5 a.m. and he's off at 10. So it's, you know, his sleep wake schedule was all messed up. And so obviously his diet was all messed up. And then so he just anything he ate would hold on to him. So, I mean, for me, probably digestion, just things just flowing smoothly. I don't want to be too crass on here, but I mean, as you get older, there's a whole industry. There's a whole industry on paying a lot of money just so everything flows smoothly, from aloe vera juice to Swiss Chris to whatever it is you claim to fame, you know, cod liver oil. I don't know. But again, we don't have to go to these extremes. You can just intermittent fasting, giving yourself that window, seeing the difference just hormonally. I can tell the difference when, I mean, with my wife, I mean, if I can go on a bender and have them M&Ms, oh, look out. It might as well have been a whole bottle of scotch last night because I'm going to be cranky in the morning because of the sugar. And it makes sense because sugars and alcohol and all these different things. So getting away for that, resetting your mood, using intermittent fasting plus bone broth and some different things to reset that. And I mean, all of that stuff doesn't seem like, you know, some folks will say, man, I'll take a 6-pack over that. But I mean, I'd rather have a good, consistent digestive system than a 6-pack. Not to say I don't want the 6-pack, but the digestion takes precedent over that.
Yeah, we won't turn down a 6-pack.
Not
like
at all.
A 6-pack.
Not at all.
That's great. So tell us about your books a little bit too. We're coming close to the end, but where can people find your books? Where can people find you?
Yeah, everything can be found on our website, athletesandartists.net. That's athletesandartists.net. For us, our books are, our first book was called Just the Chicken. South Carolina, the mascot is Gamecock, AKA a glorified chicken. And so pretty much the crutch of the story is this chicken goes around and compares himself to all the other mascots who happen to be the SEC mascots and doesn't realize who he is as special. He's a Gamecock. So that's a good story, whether, you know, regardless if you're thinking about whatever, it's about comparison identity until he got back around other chickens who looked like him and let him know that it's okay being who he was. He didn't have to fly high like the Auburn Eagles or whoever. Being who he was pretty cool. So that was our first book called Just a Chicken. Second book was called Just a Chicken Little. So at South Carolina, we think there is a curse. And we think just like the story Chicken Little, everybody thinks the sky is falling in. So, you know, right now we just went through a coaching change. So everybody thinks the sky is falling on top of itself and we got to pay somebody $15 million and our team is. So there's everybody has a similar story within their household. Your uncle was unlucky, so you're going to be unlucky. And again, it always takes somebody older to say no, because your other uncle was this and your other uncle was this. And, you know, so if we focus on the negative, that's all we'll ever see with anything. And that was our second book. Our third book, which we will publish here in a couple months, is called Eusta Was a Rooster That Doesn't Crow Anymore. And it's pretty much an old rooster who was once the best cocky mascot. We still set that in that backdrop, but he's coming back to kind of tell one of the younger roosters who's having some success that one day you're going to be old too. And so the biggest thing is about the exchange, making the exchange and telling everybody what you know so they can go and not make the mistakes that maybe you did or I did. So it's been really cool for us to get out there and to publish these books. Of course, it's fun to see our names on it, but our biggest thing is getting into the schools and telling kids that you're not probably going to play in the NFL. You're not going to be good like I was, and I wasn't really that good to begin with. Every kid thinks they're going to play sports. Our biggest thing is we tell them to go pro in reading, writing, and speaking. Those are skills.
Love it.
Everybody has the opportunity to get better at those skills. Doesn't matter where you start. But unlike football with talent, if you don't come out the womb and have that opportunity to be 6'7", you're not probably going to play basketball. If your mom is 5 foot, your daddy 5 foot, you probably need to go ahead and give up that NBA career because that's not it. But you can have a job in the NBA for 20 plus years and never play basketball and have just as much fun going to all the parties, going to all the things. And that's pretty much what we do, because a lot of the guys we used to play with are the team trainers for the Indianapolis Colts. And he makes over $250,000 a year. And he's been doing this for 15 years. And he had Super Bowl rings where I had to play, and I played on the worst team ever. And I never won a football game when I played for the Detroit Lions. We went 0-16. So
oh, goodness.
It goes all back to choices. So building up that skills, reading, writing, and speaking is going to be your path. You can always outread your situation. You can always outwrite your situation, and you can always outspeak. We always know that kid who's a slick talker, but there's a difference between putting a thought and putting an idea together and trying to convince some people and get them to look at your point of view. And so we just try to make that distinction with kids and give kids that opportunity and show them, because, you know, everybody thinks they're going to play sports, but even if you are lucky enough to play, you know, the NFL stands for not for long. You ain't going to be there too long. So if you played for free for 10, 15 years and your mama took you all those practice, you only might get paid for two of those years. And that's not a fair exchange. It's kind of like eating the bad calories. We got to make sure the exchange is equal.
Well, I love that. In 1 minute or less, what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting?
Oh, 1 minute or less. Just try. You never know. It sounds simple, but it is hard. I will give you that 100%. But see if you can make it to 12 o'clock. You know, see if you can make it 30 minutes beyond that. We talked about delaying, not saying no outright. You know, if usually your set point is by 9 o'clock, man, I need breakfast. Well, can you make it to 10:30? Can you set up your situation where you do that? And again, you feel so much more empowered when you start doing that. And just make those incremental steps a little bit here and there. You don't have to go to full 24. You don't got to be a crazy football dude like we were. A little bit goes a long way. And our bodies, it's kind of like that old adage. You take one step and your body will kind of take two steps towards you. So, I mean, you don't have to make a big giant leap. Make a small step and your body will reward you with feeling better.
Well, Langston, I have really enjoyed talking to you today. And thank you so much for being here with us.
This was awesome.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.